Heaven is silent as the mighty judge ascends the throne. The book of life is open as countless souls
here tonight. He's heading off to school in a couple weeks, but I think he's all fired up. You fired up?
A little bit.
Amen. All right, you come on up here and preach.
Yes, sir.
Come on up here and preach the word. Go at it. Turn the microphone on.
I will.
Hear me? Am I good? All right. Thank you. Hey, Pastor Freeman, thank you for letting me preach here. I really appreciate it. Every time I come here, I want to say it feels like home, because you guys are so loving. I know, I'm like, I don't know, 300 miles away. But every time I come here, it's enjoyable to be here. I mean, I really appreciate you guys. I'm not just flattering you guys because I'm preaching either. I mean it. You guys sing. I love the singing here. You guys are loving. You guys make me feel at home every time I come here. And I don't feel uncomfortable when I come here. And I feel like there's so many memories here, too, that are just rekindled. And I really appreciate that. And thank you for the opportunity to preach again, Pastor. And I'm going back to school and next Tuesday, not this Tuesday. And I'm driving across country with my youth pastor who decided to get his master's degree. And so we'll be going all the way across country from Eastern Shore of Maryland all the way to Southern California, about 36-hour drive. So that'll be really fun, I'm sure. And but just a great opportunity to be here. I mean that. I just got some quick prayer requests, if you could pray for me real quick. If you could remember, I preach on Wednesday at my church down in Maryland. I guess it's kind of like a goodbye message. I don't know. He asked me to preach before I go. And I guess I'm bad at goodbyes because I feel the Lord wants me to preach on Luke 16, which is hell. And so I guess I'm bad at goodbyes. But he wants me to preach. And if you could pray for me on Wednesday. And then on Saturday, we're doing a teen activity. We have about 8 bus teens. And these bus teens, they are model Christians, especially when it comes to telling people about Jesus. They all live in a lower income housing. And they are a lot less fortunate. None of them have fathers. And but you know what? They show up Tuesday night and Saturday morning. They book it out of the church van to go put door hangers on. I mean, I call them the hound dogs of heaven because they get off and they start, I don't know what they do, make noises and stuff, run off. 10 seconds, they got like 10 door hangers on doors. It's amazing. And they got such a heart for God. And if you could just pray for me on Saturdays, I'll be preaching to them, hopefully at a bonfire. And they're really important to me. And those teenagers have really made my summer. And I want them to live for God, because if they don't live for God, I don't know what I'll do. So just please pray for me. And man, I'm crying. I'll be preaching from Acts 8 tonight. And Pastor Freeman, when he told me a couple weeks ago that I could preach, he told me to preach the word. I want preaching from the Bible, and I don't want that tap dancing preaching. And I have no idea what tap dancing preaching is. And I've asked my mom like 5 times since then what it is. And every time she's given me a different definition. So I'm like, one moment, I was like, well, I guess he doesn't want me to move around at all. Another moment, it was like, well, I guess he doesn't want me hopping back and forth in scripture. I don't know what it means, Pastor Freeman. So I'm just going to do my best, preach the Bible. And to share the Bible and share what God's laid on my heart. And Acts chapter 8, I love Acts chapter 8. It means it's a passage that's one of my favorite. It has to do a lot with, in the beginning here where we'll be at, has to do a lot with telling people about Jesus Christ, how the church was persecuted and got moving and stuff, and Philip going down to Samaria and preaching the gospel. And obviously, the message is going to have a lot to do with witnessing and stuff. But I'm just throwing it out there. I'm not talking about gimmicks. I'm not talking about, you know, 1, 2, 3, pray after me kind of stuff. I'm praying about us as Christians. I'm talking about us as Christians, you know, going out there and telling people about Jesus because they need to hear the word. So if you would tonight, Acts chapter 8 and verse 1, I'll get started and read. And Saul was consenting unto his death. That's Stephen's death. And at that time, there was a great persecution against the church, which was at Jerusalem. And they were all scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. And devout men carried Stephen to his burial and made great lamentation over him. As for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering into every house and hailing men and women, committed them to prison. Therefore, they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word. Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. And the people with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. For unclean spirits, crying with loud voice, came out of many that were possessed with them. And many taken with palsies and that were lame were healed. And there was great joy in that city. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you, God, so much for this opportunity, Lord. Thank you for being a God that answers prayer. And God, thank you for being a merciful God and a gracious God. And giving me salvation, giving us all salvation when we did not deserve it, Lord. God, I pray that you would fill me with your Holy Spirit, God. Forgive me of any sin that I have forgotten to confess, God. And cleanse me from all unrighteousness, Lord. And I pray that people would not see me tonight. I pray that they would be helped from this message, encouraged from this message, God. I don't want people to see Joey Flores. I don't want them to focus on me, God. I want them to hear the word. And God, be helped and be encouraged, Lord. Please work in hearts, God, and be with me tonight, Lord. I love you, God, and thank you for hearing this prayer. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I don't know about you, but I love being saved. There's nothing else I'd rather want. I love the fourth verse of when I survey, were the whole realm of nature mine, that were a present far too small. That's a present far too small because there's nothing compared to God. There's nothing compared to having a relationship with a saving Savior, Jesus Christ. There's nothing better than being filled with the Holy Spirit. There's nothing better than knowing that you're going to heaven when you die rather than going to hell. I love being saved. I tell people all the time, I love being saved. Mainly, honestly, because I'm not going to hell. Okay, I was scared of hell for all my life. I doubted my salvation because of how scary hell was. But I'm glad that at one point in my life I got that settled, and that I know I'm going to heaven when I die, and I don't got to go to hell. I was thinking last night in bed. I couldn't fall asleep till 2:30 in the morning. I was thinking last night of all the people I've prayed for to get saved, and how lately I've kind of sagged away from that. I haven't prayed for them like I should. I thought of my cousins. I thought of Lewis and Madeline and Julia. I thought of a guy named Mike. I thought of a man named Tom Nessler. I thought of Sam's wife. I thought of my friend Stephen and his entire family. They've been like a second family to me, and I regretted all the times that I was a bad testimony to them. All the times that I didn't share the gospel with them when I had the chance. And now they're moving to North Carolina. And now, honestly, I would want to drive to North Carolina just to share the gospel with them. Because I don't want them dying and going to hell. Good night. I want somebody to go to heaven with me. And I want my second family to go to heaven with me. In the book of Acts, it's obviously right after Jesus rose from the grave, and he gave the Great Commission to the disciples in Acts chapter 1. You can turn there. We'll read it. I probably won't have you turn to too many scriptures tonight. Brother Chris gave me an excuse, too. He said you guys are too slow, so he's told me just to quote it and go ahead. So, and that's good with me. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. I'm sure many of you already know it. But ye shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, and all in Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. In Acts chapter 1, verse 8, Jesus was saying, hey, I want you to take the gospel to Jerusalem, to Judea, to Samaria, and to the uttermost part of the earth. I mean, it's basic stuff. We know this. In Luke 24:49, he told them to wait till the Holy Spirit came down. And as they waited in Jerusalem for the Holy Spirit came down, as they united in prayer and in caring for one each other, the Holy Spirit came down with a bang on the day of Pentecost. 3,000 souls saved and baptized. And from there, a cycle that would be followed throughout the entire book of Acts began. Of prayer, which led to power, which led to preaching, which led to persecution, which led to prayer, and the cycle repeated itself. In Acts 3, we see this when Peter goes and heals the lame man and a crowd gathers. By the way, I love that Peter is the main character, it seems like, for the beginning of the book of Acts. The guy that denied Jesus, the guy that probably a lot of people would have written off, the guy whose life was going down, but it started going up. I'm glad that God's a God of second chances, and that Peter was the one that was starting to be used. I'm thrilled with that, because when with all our failures and with all our downfalls, God still will use us no matter what. And that thrills my soul, that God would still use me and have the mercy and the grace to let me serve him, even in my wretched sinner flesh. But you know what? Peter goes in Acts 3 and heals the lame man. The lame man's healed, and Peter sees the crowd gathering and starts preaching to the crowd. As 4,000 souls get saved, that's 4,000 on top of the previously 3,000 the day of Pentecost. Peter's then thrown in prison. See, Peter had the prayer life, which led to power for when he healed the lame man, and then he began preaching. And the persecution came when he was thrown in jail. And the saints started praying, and he was delivered from prison, we know. And then in Acts chapter 6, we see the selection of the deacons. We see Stephen. He was a man full of faith and power, full of the Holy Ghost. He had a blameless testimony. And then he went and preached to the Sanhedrin. I mean, he was straight up with them. He didn't hold back at all. He was just straight up with how they were, how they were stuck up and stiff-necked. And he wasn't joking around. So we saw, I'm sure he had a prayer life, obviously, full of faith and power. He had the power for when he started preaching. He preached to the Sanhedrin, and then he was persecuted. You remember, Stephen was stoned to death outside the city. And probably the greatest replication of Christ's love is given by Stephen in the end of Acts 7. I forget how it goes, but I believe it's something, lay not this fault to their hands. It's in the end of Acts 7. It's right here. Acts 7, Verse 60, and he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, lay not this sin to their charge. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. Oh, that reminds me so much of Jesus Christ on the cross, saying, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Stephen, just a picture of Jesus Christ's love for us. And then we come to Acts chapter 8, where we're at tonight. And in Acts chapter 8, the church at Jerusalem still had yet to spread the gospel like they had ought to. In Acts chapter 1, remember, Jesus Christ said to him, I want you to take the gospel, not just in Jerusalem, but also in Judea and Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. But the church had failed to do so. And in verse 1, we see the kick in the butt that God had to give them. If I can say that. In verse 1, it says, and Saul was consenting unto his death, and at that time there was a great persecution against the church, which was at Jerusalem. The church at Jerusalem, when we get here to this point, they had yet to spread the gospel like they should have. So God, because they would not go to tell others about Jesus, because they would not spread the gospel, God had to prod them along, God had to lead them, and he had to use persecution. He raised up a man named Saul, as we'll see, to lead that persecution. And I'm convicted because sometimes I wonder how much prodding do I need just to go soul winning, just to go door knocking, just to go witnessing and put door hangers on. God wanted them to have the right motives, but because they would not, he had to use some form or method to get them to get going. And we see that it was persecution. That was his choice. And we see persecution throughout all the Bible, throughout all history and throughout the Bible. We see it with all the disciples being martyrs. And we see it with the Waldensians in 1655, I believe. And we just see persecution as a theme, sometimes to get people to get going, sometimes because they're already going and Satan wants to stop them. But in this case, in Acts 8, verse 1, God had to use persecution to get this church going because God knew there's people going to hell. There are sinners who don't know about the risen Savior Jesus Christ, and I want them to know. Now, what they could have done, though, instead of having persecution to get them going, they could have had obedience to God. In Matthew 28:18, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, I think it is. He had told them, I mean, we read it in Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and even in Acts 1, he had told them and they could have obeyed him. And just like that, we should be obeying God in our responsibility to carry out the gospel. I was thinking when I was writing down that list of people that need saved, I'm responsible to take the gospel to them. I may be the only saved person, man of God, that they know, and I've got to tell them about Jesus Christ. Oh, we have to take the gospel to this area. I love this church so much, and I was thrilled when Pastor Freeman told me that, that you guys were having souls baptized and souls saved, and that was great. I thought that was amazing. And I really believe that God's going to use this church in a great way. I really believe this church is going to stand up. 35 years, Pastor? 40 years. Okay, 40 years later, you don't normally see churches still seeing souls saved and still seeing souls baptized. I mean, that is a blessing from God. And this church, man, you guys can make a great impact in Allentown and a great impact in Catasauqua if we spread the gospel. And not only should we obey God, but we should, honestly, we should love people enough to want to tell them about what's so great and has happened to us. How that we got saved, how that we got pulled up out of the horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and how God set our feet upon a rock. We should all want to tell people about the gospel because we don't want them to go to hell, because we don't want them to spend an eternity in hell, in torment. In hell, he lifted up his eyes, being in torments, Luke 16:23 says, we know hell is a place of weeping and gnashing of teeth, a place of utter darkness. I heard that the hottest flame known to man right now is a black flame, actually. I'm not sure how true that is, but if black flame is the current hottest flame that we know of, it does say that hell is a place of outer darkness. I'm thinking of when I do a lot of bonfires with my youth pastor. We'll just sit outside and start a fire, and it doesn't take too long for that fire to kick up, and there's no way I can get any closer. I mean, I'm standing a few feet away, and sometimes I lose my burden for people a lot, but man, when we have a bonfire, that kicks the burden back up, because I can't even stand that close. I can't get any closer. Imagine being in that and 10 times hotter and 10 times more congested. We ought to love people enough to tell them about Jesus Christ rather than God having to prod us along or rather than doing it out of vain obedience, not really wanting to, but just doing it because we're supposed to. I think of those teenagers. They were so, the teenagers at our church were so excited. I mean, they look forward. They want to be there Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, Tuesday night, and Saturday just to go put door hangers on. I mean, I was convicted. I mean, I'm talking about people who are texting us, hey, when are you going to be here? 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 Let's get on the van. Let's get on the van. Let's get on the van. And then we go, and they run off the van. I mean, I'm normally like, Lord, you know, I'm going soul winning like you want me to, and I want to love people. But God, this is so hard. I mean, they didn't even care. They were just, they took off the van. They booked it down. They were laughing. They enjoyed it. It was great. It made me so happy. And we went to Taco Bell afterwards. We fed them, of course. And then one of the seventh graders goes to me, or the youth pastor, and goes, hey, do you guys have any tracts? We should give out tracts to everybody in the restaurant. I'm like, I've never done that in my life. So we went out and got tracts. And they handed out tracts to everybody because they loved obeying God. They loved people enough. They wanted to get the gospel out. They weren't fooling around anymore. This is their church. This is their community. It's time to love people enough and tell them about Jesus Christ. And they decided that's how it was going to be. But then, in verse 3 of Acts chapter 8, we see the main hindrance, the main leader of persecution. As for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering into every house and hailing men and women, committed them to prison. You can go ahead and turn to Philippians chapter 3 if you'd like. I won't go there quite yet, but I'll just let you get started. But we know who Saul was. I mean, this was Saul before he became Paul, before he got saved, before he became the great man of God he did. This was Saul who had so much fame, who probably had some form of fortune, I imagine, as he was rising up the Jewish ladder, trying to, you know, get in the Sanhedrin and move up and up and up. I bet, you know, all the younger kids, all the teenagers looked up to Paul and said, I want to be like Paul when I'm older. Paul, he's got it going on. And Paul, I mean, with great zeal, he persecuted the church. With great zeal, he tried to stop God's church, but he could not stop it. And in fact, later, I love it, on the road to Damascus, he met an unmovable force, and Jesus Christ met him, and Paul got saved, and became a great man of God for the Lord. But we see in Acts 8:3 that Saul was the main hindrance. And it's amazing how they started scattering abroad, and they were going to preach the gospel, and then Satan brought up another hindrance. God allowed another hindrance, and Satan brought Saul to hinder the church, and I mean, look at the tenacity he had. He made a havoc of the church, entering into every house and hailing men and women, committed them to prison. I mean, he wasn't fooling around. I mean, he was not fooling around. In my Bible, I said, that's the kind of tenacity I need for people out of hell, just like Paul had for pulling people out of the houses. I mean, he had a tenacity about him. And there's always going to be hindrances when we go soul winning. I mean, look at these. All the way back in Acts 8, there's hindrances to witnessing, to telling people about Jesus Christ. I don't know if you guys do witnessing on Saturdays or what exactly you do. I forget. But there's always something that can come up. There's always something that can get in the way of getting out and telling people about Jesus. Or there's always something that can get in the way of witnessing to a family member or a cousin or a friend or whatever. There's always some hindrance with me. Honestly, with me, fear is my biggest hindrance. And I've got to overcome that. And I'm praying and trying my best to overcome it. But fear is a hindrance to me. Sometimes it's work. Sometimes it's busyness. Whatever it is, mix up priorities, whatever it is. But there's always hindrances, it seems, to witnessing. But what they exemplified here was what I love. What 2 Timothy 2:3-4 says, and that's what they exemplified here in Acts 8:3. Therefore, endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. For no man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him which has chosen him to be a soldier. See, the church, even though they had a hard time, they kept persevering. They kept telling people about Jesus, and even through the hardships of our life, we still had to tell people about Jesus. I was praying about preaching on Acts 16. If you remember in Acts 16, Paul and Silas in prison. And one thing that really clicked out to me last time I read Acts 16 was here was Paul praying for deliverance, and the prison opens. I mean, they're ready to go. I mean, they're good to go. But no, he saw that jailer about to kill himself, about to send himself to hell forever. And he stopped. He said, I can have freedom. I can be out of here. I can have God's answered prayer. But I want to tell this guy about Jesus Christ first. And I thought that was amazing. That even through all his hardships, even through all the hindrances of his own life, even through all the other priorities of his own life, he still took that time to tell somebody about Jesus Christ. We find out that all their house got saved and ended up getting baptized. That sounds good to me. I mean, that's great. We rejoice when somebody gets saved or baptized. That is something special. I can't explain it to you sometimes. I don't know, understand why we get so happy sometimes. I mean, there is good reason to get happy when somebody gets saved and is growing as a Christian. But I feel like since we get saved, that there's something inside of us that just gets fired up about it. And it's so great to see a Christian get saved and baptized and growing and living for the Lord. And we see that even through Saul and hindrances and persecution, the church still kept going. In Acts 8:4, and this is where I really want to zero in. In Acts 8:4. It says, therefore, they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word. I like that phrase, they that were scattered abroad. It's the Christians they're talking about. Because it says the Christians went everywhere preaching the word. And I know I like to break phrases apart in my Bible. And that phrase, they that were scattered abroad, tells me those are Christians, right? Because the Christians were the ones that were preaching the word. Philip in Acts 8:5, he's a Christian. He's a man of God preaching Christ to the Samaritans. Because, quite frankly, the Catholics, the Mormons, the Muslims, the Jehovah Witnesses, they won't preach Jesus Christ. It's got to be us as Christians. And if we don't step up and do it, then nobody will tell them the truth. And they will be led to believe lies and false doctrine. I have a denominational map of the United States. Catholicism dominates the Northeast. It's unbelievable. People are being led down that lie of bondage of religion. Religion is trying to do something to get to God. And our relationship with Jesus is something that's already been done by his sacrifice on the cross. And I'm glad for that. But if we as Christians will not tell them about the gospel, if we will not tell our loved ones about the gospel, if we will not go out and tell Allentown and Catasauqua about the gospel, then nobody else will. Instead, somebody will come along and tell them something that's not true and send them to an eternal lake of fire. And I don't want that, and you don't want that, right? We as Christians are the ones responsible to spread the gospel. Therefore, they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word. I love that word went too. It implies that they went. They got up and they went. They decided, I got to go tell somebody about Jesus Christ. I got to go spread the gospel. I have all this going on and I've got all this going on. But somebody needs to hear the gospel. I love 2 Corinthians 9:16 that says, though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of. Yea, necessity is laid upon me. Yea, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. 2 Corinthians 5:11. Therefore, knowing the terror of the Lord, we persuade men also. We know the eternal destination of those that aren't saved. We know the eternal destination of those that are saved, and we know how joyful it'll be and how great it'll be. But we've got to tell people about Jesus. We've got to get up and go. We've got to tell our family members before it's too late, because I don't want any of my family members, I don't want any of my friends to go to hell. I want them to go to heaven with me. It's not enough to just how do I explain it? I was reading Acts 16, and it says there's a great gulf fixed, and you can't cross the gulf. You know, it wouldn't be so bad, honestly, to me. This might sound bad. If I was going to heaven and somebody died and knew they weren't saved, but they weren't going to hell, they went somewhere else, you know, I don't know where, it might not be as bad. But good night. People, when they die and they're not saved, they're going to hell. That's why Paul said, necessity is laid upon me. Yea, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. I'm supposed to be preaching the gospel. I have to preach the gospel. Romans, Titus 2:14, who gave himself for us that he may redeem unto himself peculiar people, zealous of good works. He not only redeemed us to save us and to restore our relationship with God, but he redeemed us so that we could be on fire for telling people about Jesus, so we could spread the gospel, each one, reach one, as people say. If each of us did our best to reach one person, so many more people would get saved, and so many more people would be rescued from hell. And then I love that phrase, therefore they that were scattered abroad went
everywhere.
I love that phrase. Because the gospel's for everybody. Whosoever will call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Everybody in Allentown, everybody in Catasauqua, everybody in the Eastern Shore of Maryland, in Graysonville, Maryland, where my church is, deserves to hear the gospel. The gospel is for everybody. Paul said in Romans chapter 1, I am a debtor both to the Greek. No, I'm a debtor both to the wise and the unwise. I am also ready. I'm sorry. I had 4 hours of sleep. I'm having trouble quoting scripture tonight. I'm sorry. Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. I am a debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. So as much as in me, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, unto the Jew first, and also unto the Greek. I'm glad the gospel is not just for Jews. I'm so glad it's for us Gentiles too. But Paul said everywhere preaching the gospel. In Acts 8 it says everywhere preaching the gospel, because everybody deserves to hear the word. And then lastly in verse 4, preaching the word. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. I'm so glad for the word of God that is lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path, that it is my manual for ministry, that is my manual for life. When I need picked up, it picks me up. When I need encouraged, it encourages me. When I'm depressed, it lifts me up. When I need a fire to be burning, it puts a fire in me. Good night if you need a fire and tell people about Jesus. Romans 5 will do it. I love Romans 5 talking about how we could not save ourselves, but the Messiah came and made it so that we could be saved. But preaching the word, we love the word of God, don't we? I know you. I love the preaching here. Pastor Freeman encourages me to preach expository preaching. Because where at my college, yeah, we preach expository. It's not always expository. But here, I don't got to worry about, if I invited somebody here, I don't got to worry about what they're hearing. Because I know they're hearing the word of God. I know they're hearing something that can help them. I know they're hearing something that will encourage them and lift them up and strengthen them. I've compared this church to many churches. This church is so healthy. This church is so knowledgeable. You guys are in tune with your word. With the word, it's amazing, honestly. I mean that. I've been to churches and you try to talk about the Bible and it's like, what are you talking about, you know? But here, you guys know your Bible. My mom always talks about, I miss Ray Street. I miss being after church and talking to Miss Kathy and Miss Marge after church and just talking about the Bible for an hour. I miss that. I miss that too. She's got a point. You guys are so healthy. You guys know how great the Word of God is, how profitable it is. We got to preach the word. We don't got to preach the Book of Mormon. We don't got to preach the Quran. We get to preach the word of God, God's word. I was telling my cousin Lewis in the car on the way here, just some of the great evidences for that the Bible is the word of God. How it talked about the universe expanding. How it talked about using running water. How it talked about that even when everybody believed that the earth was flat, the Bible said the earth is round. And Christians chose to believe that the earth was round while everybody said it was flat. And you know what? Those who didn't believe in God, those who didn't believe the Bible, ended up finding out, you know what? The earth is round like the Bible said. That's right, because the word of God is truth. It is the word of God, and God is the God of truth. I'm grateful for the word of God. But then in Acts chapter 8, verse 5, then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. Philip, known as Philip the Evangelist. He was a man of God. He was a man of God that went down to the city of Samaria. And if you know about Samaria, as I'm sure many of you do know, Samaria was the enemy of the Jews, typically. The Jews and Samaritans did not get along very well. The Jews tried to avoid the Samaritans, and the Samaritans tried to avoid the Jews. But Philip said, the gospel is for everybody. I don't care if they're red, yellow, black, and white. They are all precious in his sight. The gospel is for everybody. And he went, it didn't matter about what political party they were. It didn't matter about their past with each other. It didn't matter about the color of their skin or what they normally believed. He didn't care. He said, I want to tell this despised audience about Jesus Christ. And I'm so grateful that the gospel is for anybody. Philip realized that. He realized that it's for the atheist. It's for the agnostic. It's for the homosexual. It's for the person that is debating suicide. It's for the prostitute. It's for everybody to hear the gospel. That's what the gospel is for. And he said, I don't care where they come from. I don't care who I know. I don't care what they've done to me, but I want to tell them about Jesus Christ because I love them enough that I do not want them to go to hell, but I want them to go to heaven. And in Acts chapter 8, verse 5, that last phrase, and preached Christ unto them. Oh, I love being saved. It is so good. Romans 3:10, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. For the wages of sin is death. I deserve hell. I deserve to meander and to trip up and walk around on this world and this short life, which is but a vapor. I deserve to live in depression and frustration. I don't deserve Jesus Christ. I don't deserve God to answer my prayers. I don't deserve to have Him as my Heavenly Father. I don't deserve to have the Holy Spirit as my Comforter. I don't deserve to have Jesus as my Mediator and my Savior. I don't deserve any of the mercy and the grace that God gives me. None of us do. We're all sinners deserving of an eternal damnation in hell. And everybody deserves that. But Romans 6:23, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Because one day, here in His love, not that we loved Him, but that He first loved us. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. When I could not save myself, when I deserved hell, when I could not work my way to heaven, when I could not pray my way to heaven, when I could not go to church my way to heaven, when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, even so that we might receive the adoption of sons. When I deserved hell, Jesus Christ, for the joy that was set before Him, endured the cross, despised the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider Him who endured such contradiction of sinners against Himself, lest He be wearied and faint in your mind. He was bruised for our iniquities. I'm having trouble quoting scripture tonight. Jesus Christ suffered for us, is what Isaiah 53:5 says. When we deserved hell, Jesus Christ came and He went to the cross. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is that flow. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. I have victory in Jesus tonight because I was plunged beneath that flood, and all sinners will lose their guilty stains, and there's no doubt about it. When I was saved by the blood of Jesus Christ, all my sins were washed away. I didn't have to worry about ever losing my salvation. Grieve not the Holy Spirit, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. I'm glad that I cannot lose my salvation, because I would lose it. I am so glad that Jesus Christ came and died on the cross for my sins, and the Holy Spirit seals me. Romans 5, 1 through 11. I'm having trouble quoting scripture tonight. I am, so I'm going to try to quote it. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith in this grace wherein we stand and do rejoice in glory and hope in the glory of God. And not only so, but in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope, and hope maketh not ashamed. For the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. For when we were without strength, when I could not save myself, in due time Christ died for us. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth His love towards us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than being now justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. Oh, I'm so glad that when I could not save myself, Jesus Christ, the King of the ages, the King of the Jews, the King of righteousness, the King of eternity, the King of kings and the Lord of lords, the King of heaven, the King of glory, the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the El Shaddai, the Elohim, the El Denai, stepped off that throne, and when he did not have to, when he shouldn't have, for my wretched soul, and he came down and died on the cross and endured the bruising and endured the brutalizing and endured the torture for my wretched soul. Sinful, wicked soul. Oh. I love what that phrase, "it is finished," that he said on the cross. Tetelestai. It's done. Put a fork in it. You lose, Satan. Those that trust in me are redeemed. They're not going to hell. They're going to heaven when they die. And Jesus Christ was put in that grave. And day one went by. Day two went by. Day three came up, and lo, in the grave he lay. Jesus, my Savior, waiting the coming day. Jesus, my Lord. And then up from the grave he arose with a mighty triumph for his foes. He arose a victor over the dark domain, and he lives forever with his saints to reign. 1 Corinthians 15, 3 and 4 talks about how Jesus Christ died, that he was buried, and that according to the scriptures, he rose again the third day. I'm so glad, because 1 Corinthians 15 talks about, how our preaching is vain. Oh, my prayers would be in vain. My belief would be in vain. I would be of most men most miserable if Jesus Christ did not rise. The gospel would be stopped if Jesus Christ did not rise. But there's an empty tomb today. There is no tomb. I don't care what anybody says. They have not found the bones of Jesus Christ, because he is not there. He is in heaven waiting to come and get us again one day. Jesus Christ is he's alive. When Satan thought he had won, when Satan thought he had victory, death said, "I could not hold him down with power, oh great power." He rose up from the ground, and Jesus Christ, he rose up, and he's not dead, he's alive. I'm so glad that when I was deserving a hell, when I deserved to be depressed, he gave me drive. When I deserved flames, he gave me a fire. When I deserved to just be lollygagging around in life, he gave me love. Jesus Christ came and died on the cross for our sins. He was buried, and he rose again. He brought me up out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and has set my feet upon a rock, and has established my goings, and has put a new song in my mouth, even though it doesn't sound good, even to the praise of our Lord. Sinners shall hear it and fear and trust in the Lord. Good night. My life is totally different since Jesus Christ saved me. And I know all around this room there's many testimonies of how your life has been changed since Jesus saved you. So, Joey, why'd you just go through the gospel? We know that. Because Philip went down to Samaria and preached Christ. And I said all that because Christ is a message worth preaching. We get fired up about the gospel. We get fired up about how we deserved hell and how Jesus came and died for us and he rose again. Hey, that's a message worth telling people. We'll talk about our sports teams. We'll talk about whatever, our hobbies. Talk about Jesus. Oh, what a wonderful Savior is Jesus, my Lord. Love so amazing, so divine. Demands my soul, my life, my all. Jesus Christ isn't just a fairy tale. He just isn't some person that was raised up higher than he should have been. Jesus Christ is our Redeemer. That's a message worth telling people. He changes our lives. Jesus Christ is alive. He saved us when nobody else could. That's a message worth telling people. I don't want to tell anybody about anything else but Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, why? He's so worth telling people about. And then in Acts chapter 8, verse 6. And the people with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. For unclean spirits, crying with loud voice, came out of many that were possessed with them, and many taken with palsies and that were lame were healed. And there was great joy in that city. In Acts chapter 8 and 6 and 7, we see some of the spiritual gifts as people are healed. And I know we don't see that today. What we do see is the gospel changing lives. We see the gospel bringing healing that nothing else could bring healing to. Dr. Phil can't bring healing like the gospel can bring healing. Oprah Winfrey cannot bring healing like the gospel can bring healing. I'm all for Christian books and godly resources, but they cannot bring healing like Jesus Christ through the gospel can bring healing. Joy in the city. There's joy in the city. We don't have a lot of joy these days. Depression is at an all-time rate. Frustration is at an all-time high rate. I'm sorry, I'm losing words as I get more tired. Depression, frustration, suicide, murder, pride. It's all higher than perhaps it's ever been in the United States of America. People need some joy. We need some joy, right? We find our joy in Jesus Christ. And the only joy that people are truly going to find is in Jesus Christ. I told somebody before that's not saved. I said, I don't know if this was the right thing to say. I said, listen, I don't say this in a prideful way. I don't say this in a boasting way. People may doubt it. This is all God. But if you don't get saved, I can guarantee you my life will be more enjoyable. Because Jesus Christ brings joy to my heart. What a life worth living we have. What a life. We get to serve the Almighty God. He didn't just save us. He allowed us to serve Him. The King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. The Creator of the universe. One of the ways He wants us to serve Him is tell people about Jesus Christ. Because though people may be resistant more than ever, though people may not want to hear it, the gospel can change a town. The gospel can change a city. If you guys are seeing people saved and baptized after 40 years, what's going to happen to Allentown and Catasauqua after 50 years with this church? This church is a pillar of truth. This church preaches truth. It sings about the truth. They love the way they ought to. I believe this church can be used of God to flip Allentown upside down, to see souls saved, to be a pillar of help and encouragement and love like Jesus wants it to be. And we got to tell people about Jesus Christ if we want that. We want joy in the city. Allentown's ready to hear the gospel. They need to hear the gospel. They need to hear the gospel because we ought to obey God, because we ought to love God enough to love God and to love people enough to tell them. We've got to get up and go and tell people. We've got to tell our friends. We've got to tell our family about the message that's worth telling people about. And then you will see the amazing transformation and results of what the gospel brings. If it's okay, Pastor Jason, can you sing How Deep the Father's Love for Us afterwards, after the message? Would that be okay? Is that okay, Pastor?
That's okay.
Okay, because I love that song. How deep the Father's love for us, that He would give His only Son to turn a wretch to His treasure. All of us have lost family members, lost friends, and lost neighbors. They need to hear the gospel. We got the good news. We've got the Word of God, and we've got Jesus Christ that can save their souls. We can tell them about Jesus Christ and all that He's done for us. I hope this helped you. I'm sweating like crazy. I got a burning headache. I got pulled over today for something I didn't know wasn't supposed to do. I got 4 hours of sleep last night, but it was worth every bit of it to come here and preach. Thank you, Pastor Freeman, and I'll close in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank You for this opportunity to preach Your Word, God. Thank You that we have Your Word, Lord, that we have Your truth, Lord God. God, we all know people that need to hear about You. We all know friends and family and neighbors and just complete strangers on the street, God, that need to hear about You. I pray, Lord, that we would tell them about You, God. Whether it's fear that gets in the way, whether it's mixed up priorities, whatever it is, Lord. God, I pray that You would help us to tell others about Jesus Christ, God. Lord, I pray that You would forgive me for saying anything I shouldn't have said. And God, I pray that You would be glorified and praised through tonight. God, I pray that Your message would sink in our hearts, God, despite a sinful messenger. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
So, on the way out, let's give a good love offering. Don't forget, we're going to have a watermelon. 2 bags and give a watermelon. here. Jason, do you have the words? Yeah. Okay. It is a good song. I like that one too. I like it a lot.
How deep the Father's love for us.
It's going to be too low.
How deep the Father's love for us. How vast beyond all measure. That He should give His only Son to make a wretch His treasure. How great the pain of searing loss. His Father turns His face away as wounds which mar the chosen one bring many sons to glory. Behold the man upon the cross, my sin upon His shoulders. Ashamed, I hear my mocking voice call out among the scoffers. It was my sin that held Him there until it was accomplished. His dying breath has brought me life. I know that it is finished. I will not boast in anything, no gifts, no power, no wisdom, but I will boast in Christ, His death and resurrection. Why should I gain from His reward? I cannot give an answer, but this I know with all my heart, His wounds have paid my ransom. Why should I gain from His reward? I cannot give an answer, but this I know with all my heart, His wounds have paid my ransom. But this I know with all my heart, His wounds have paid my ransom.